The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and are based solely on their personal experiences and interpretations. Nothing shared in this podcast should be understood as a factual claim about any identifiable individual. Any references to relationships, past events, or personal history are intentionally nonspecific and are not meant to describe or comment on any particular person. This content is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, therapeutic, or clinical advice. Listeners should consult appropriate professionals for guidance related to their specific circumstances. Hey, folks. I know you could be listening to one of a million different podcasts right now, and I am super grateful you picked this one. Welcome to The Human Show. I'm your host, Trish, a holistic life coach and a mom navigating this complex world of human emotions. Here, we will share stories, insights, research, and information to help you step into the most true version of yourself so you can be a happy human. Now let's get into it. Hey folks, thanks for being here. I am excited to have a really cool guy who I am honored to call my friend, Scott McDonald. Thanks for being on the show with me today, Scott.
Hey, Trish. Thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So today, Scott and I are going to talk about self-compassion, which I think is a super important topic. And I'm thankful that Scott took the time to chat with me today because I know he has some great information and experiences to share around this topic. So before we get started, Scott, can you just share a little bit of what you'd like everyone to know about you?
Okay. Well, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I'm 30 years with the same company. I've been in the corporate world in sales primarily, and I've had a wonderful career. I've got three beautiful daughters and three grandchildren. And these last 5 or 6 years, I've kind of gotten into the self-awareness path. I've gotten involved in really looking inside of me. And that's how we came across each other through the adult chair certification, coaching certification, which I really got a lot out of. And really, that's been kind of the springboard for these last couple of years for me. As I said, I've been with the company 30 years. I'm going to retire within the next 5. And I'm going to want to jump into being of service to other people, whether it's in the coaching field specifically, or more just helping people. As I've got a certification as a death doula, and I've been doing some fun hospice volunteer work that I've really, really enjoyed. So I've worked really hard for a company for 30 years, and now I'm looking forward to working, being of service to other people in the years to come.
That's so great. Yeah. I love that the idea of, you know, this self-awareness that you've been sort of developing and growing is now leading to wanting to be in service to others. And that can look like a lot of different things. And for you right now, it's volunteer work and you became a death doula. So how did that come about?
Well, after the coaching certification process and doing some part-time coaching, I was having a hard time having it fit into my schedule, with my work schedule. And so I was looking for something. And my wife had mentioned that one of her very good friends was getting ready to pass. And he had a teenage son. And I was curious what was happening with the son. What were they doing with the son? They said they actually brought in a death doula to come talk to the son. And I think saying electric bolt went through me is a little strong, but something really, I mean, I had never heard of it. And I probably over the next couple of weeks, I just started doing research on it. And kind of like how my career was in the business world, I just kind of went with my gut. And I wound up doing a certification course online. And just the more I've gotten involved with it, I don't know if necessarily say 4 years out, I necessarily want to be a death doula full on, but I've been pulled towards the whole end of life area. And it's felt really, to use a term, aligned to me. And that's also what got me into this hospice volunteer work. I've only been doing it for a year, and it dovetails in with my schedule. And I get so much from just sitting and talking with these folks and their families that I didn't know what I was looking for when I went, and it's hard for me to really say what I get, but I feel they thank me when I leave, and I thank them when I'm getting in my car. It's there's a certain, I don't know, energy exchange that's taking place. And that's a long story for how I got to be a death doula, but that it struck me when I heard it, and I kept going with it.
It wasn't a long story. Thank you for sharing that. And I mean, talk about self-awareness. Like, that's what it's about. You, like you said, a lightning bolt. And sometimes it's not that big, sometimes it's smaller, but you felt it, you recognized it, and you were like, oh, let me look at that. Let me give that a little attention. And you just kind of followed the pull. And I think that's really great. And you know, kudos to you and just recognizing that, because I think a lot of us often something like that pops up in our subconscious and we sort of dismiss it because maybe in our logical brain it doesn't make sense. We're like, what, you know, that's not what I am, that's not who I am, that's not. But just listening to it and like and being curious, it's about being curious. And you were like, let me do some research, let me get curious about this.
To your point, if I hadn't been done the self work and I hadn't done the coaching certification, I definitely know that I wouldn't have gone down the road, because there's been multiple times I have said to myself, "What exact? Why are you?" But I'm not going with the why. I'm just going, "Well, let's keep finding out. Let's keep finding out," and doing the course. And one other point is, I'm 61 years old now, so probably right around 55. 54, 55, 56. I was thinking, I need to start thinking about transitioning out of my career at some point in time. Yes, it's at that point in time, say 10 years away. But the only thing I came up, I want to volunteer. I want to do some volunteer work. But it kind of just let I just kind of left it hanging there. I could never kind of figure out. I think I poked around a little bit here and there. I never really spent much time, but volunteering was always on my mind. I had volunteered in my mid-30s for Big Brother, and I also did a volunteer for hospice, kind of similar to what I'm doing now. But my work and home and personal life with children and stuff just got way too busy for that. So it's been there, but if I hadn't done this awareness work and I hadn't really dug in like we have, I know you have, that then you're right. It wouldn't have, I would have passed right by it, and I'm so thankful I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I could keep talking about this for another hour, but I'm gonna get back to our topic, which is why I asked you to chat with me today, is self-compassion, because I, you know, recently I saw you post some social media content around self-compassion, and it really, you know, it spoke to me, and I really enjoyed it. And every time you post, I love it. I'm like, yay, there's a post from Scott. It's very real and honest and relatable. So, you know, thank you. I appreciate when you post videos and when you did quite a number of them on self-compassion, and it really got my attention. So that's why I asked you to join me. And so my first question, I think, is going to be, how did you get there? Like, how did you get to a place where you wanted to start practicing self-compassion, and that came into your awareness, yes, and became a practice? So how did that sort of evolve?
It came into my awareness from a podcast that on the Adult Chair that Michelle had interviewed. Her name is Kristen Neff.
Okay.
Now I 90% certain it was her second one. And again, I was way more self-aware. I'm pretty sure sometimes I was definitely not, before you saw those videos, and thank you for watching them. I appreciate that. And there was something there that the way she was talking, and some of it I was pretty sure I'd heard in the previous podcast, that was landing. And I think I was a lot more more aware. I was definitely involved with the hospice, and I ordered her book, and I started reading it, and just a lot of, again, things just started to fall in place. And I feel like I was aware of compassion. I was very aware of how to be compassionate for other people. And I think I had an idea what self-compassion was, but I now looking back, I think it was more like I was trying to build my self-esteem. I was maybe it was more goal-oriented rather than, as I'm seeing self-compassion, it's about sitting with yourself and allowing yourself to be exactly where you are and how you are and how you feel. And I found when I use self-compassion, especially with the parts work and the inner child work, all that work just it's like the lights got turned on. They got brighter. And I've done a lot of inner child work. I've done a lot of parts work, which I'm sure you've had. And I never felt like I'd hit a wall, but when I started bringing in the self-compassion and really treating myself like I'd treat someone else, like my children or a good friend, which I don't think I was really doing, all of a sudden things came into place for me, and I felt like I could finally feel my self-talk turning. I don't know about you, I have a lot of self-talk, and it was really, really negative, and it had gotten a lot better. I had made a lot of strides, but it was always still a little harsh, especially when it came to work-related numbers and stuff. And the book itself, and talking about how, I can accept where I'm at on a task if I've achieved, accomplished it or not, seeing what I did accomplish. If I feel bad about finding out why I feel bad about it, not just pushing it away or forgetting about it, or what I would do sometimes when I thought I was being more self-aware, giving myself a pep talk, but more about what I wanted, what did I feel? And then I just noticed the next time it wasn't so, I wasn't, I'm not so hard on myself. In my personal job, there's Mondays and Tuesdays afternoons, you can set a clock from say through 2 o'clock on. It's going to be hectic and it's going to be overwhelming. And even with all the awareness I was doing, I was still finding myself letting that overwhelming, the hecticness get to me. I was even getting up from my computer and going for a walk and coming back. But when I brought in the self-compassion, and specifically on those days when I got in the car afterwards and I kind of reviewed how I did and kind of felt what I was feeling, trying as best I could to feel what I was feeling in those moments when I was in front of the computer, it seemed to take the edge off and it seemed to make the following week less hectic. And I think I also started being more aware in the moment, because I don't know if I know everyone's got different jobs, but often and I see life too much like go like a hamster wheel, go, 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 next task, next task, next task. And I'm very effective in a lot of areas of my life, but it's not good long term and it's not healthy. And I know Michelle says this a lot, and I finally did start seeing it when I put in the self-compassion. Like when I did say, okay, you're gonna go for a walk right now and walk away from the computer. Yes, you don't have time to walk, but no, you do have time. You need to take the time and you need to go for the walk, nothing in your ears. If anything, ask yourself, why are you so uptight right now? What's the problem here? What's not getting done? Every Monday or every Tuesday is like this, and you're still alive, the world's still running, a company hasn't closed down. And that really just helped balance me.
That's awesome. Thank you. So I want to talk about, because I think there are a lot of people who this is self-compassion is kind of a foreign concept. And, self-compassion, like self-care, like pretty much anything with self in front of it, sometimes can be sort of misinterpreted as being selfish, And I think especially a lot of us in our generation and generations before us, self wasn't something that was given much attention. And we didn't learn as kids. What we learned, at least what I learned somewhere along the way, was that put others before yourself. That's the way to be a good person, That's how to be good, is you think of others first. And here we are now as grown-ups, and we're, exhausted and miserable. And now we're learning. Oh, wait a minute. We never took care of ourselves because we were always worried about everyone else. So I feel like any of these ideas that have self in the beginning of it is a little bit foreign to people because we learned that self is selfish. And so I'm curious how you would define self-compassion or what it really means to you.
For me, it's accepting myself for who I am, where I am in this moment, and accepting all of me, and accepting the bumps, the bruises, as well as the good positive qualities, with the idea that I'm not necessarily going to get better or worse. I'm just going to keep changing. I'm going to keep evolving. This one was hard to get my head wrapped around. I truly can't be compassionate, helpful, encouraging to others if I can't do it to myself. I can fake it. I can sound like it. But there's a certain level of sincerity, or I guess maybe back to the word alignment. It's not, unless I'm able to do it to myself fully, I now know. I personally feel like I was doing some very positive things for folks and being compassionate, but not like I'm doing now because I do it so well, because I do it so much for myself. It's like these things clicked when I was like, sometimes people would do some things, family would disappoint me. And sure, in front of them, I'd be, hey, no problem. That's no problem. Got it. And then, you know, behind closed doors by myself, I don't know. I was angry. I was upset. And inevitably, I would turn that on to myself. And this became more destructive, or I'd push it down. Where now it's just more accepting. Wow, a mistake was made. And it's not a big deal. It's not going to change what's going on. And I can accept that myself. And if I can accept it for myself, I can accept I made a mistake. And it's a lot easier to accept it when someone else does it. And I'm not faking it any longer. And I'm not saying I was always faking it. There was a lot of sincerity. But down the line, being more compassionate towards myself has allowed me to also get rid of resentment. I think that is part of the key I was missing from saying is that when I'm doing a good thing, or I'm doing a good thing, whether it's for myself or for somebody else, and I'm doing it for the right reasons, I'm not going to resent it down the road. And to your point about putting others in front of us, now that I'm doing it with more self-compassion for myself, it's not just an obligatory duty that I'm doing. I when I'm choosing to do, you know, whatever that is, I'm going to go ahead and take care of that for you. It's because I want to. There's a good, the intention is a lot more pure. I don't know if I'm making sense or rambling, but because a lot of it's a feeling for me now that,
yeah.
And I was someone who didn't have a lot of feelings or didn't go below the surface very much.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I love that. And a couple of things you said, I want to go back to, you said duty, and I like that as describing sort of what we learned, you know, putting others first. It's sort of a duty. And like you said, you feel you do it because you almost feel obligated. And you're like, well, I want to be a good person, so I'm going to take care of everyone else first. You know, when you look at it in this way, it feels kind of empty because you're doing it as a duty. You're not doing it because it is truly your intention to help for the sake of helping or care for the sake of caring. You're doing it because it's a duty to be a good person. And yes. So I think when we talk about self-compassion, self-love, self-care, the point is when I practice compassion for myself, I have more capacity to show compassion to others. When I practice love for myself, I have the capacity to share love with others. You know, when I take care of myself, I have the capacity to take care of others. And that's like what you're saying. Like you said, you would be compassionate to other people, but it's different now. And I think because you were doing it because you felt obligated. And now that you're taking care of yourself, it's another level. Now you have the capacity to care for others and show compassion for others in a completely different way. And I love that you mentioned resentment, because I can totally relate to that. And I think that happens for a lot of people. They're doing all these good things and helping everyone so that they can be good and be considered a good person. They might go home, and like you said, maybe they're angry because they didn't get what they wanted out of that situation, because they were making sure everyone else was good, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have that anymore because you're practicing taking care of yourself. You're practicing being compassionate with yourself. see your
Yeah, I
cat wants
apologize.
to be involved.
Yes, she hears your voice and loves it.
What's your cat's name?
Roxy.
Roxy.
She's like a 16-year-old rescue that is just...
Oh, it's so funny. She's like, I have things to say.
Yeah. Maybe she disagrees with what I'm saying. I don't know.
Something. She's like, I have comments. Anyway, so I like that you mentioned duty and you mentioned resentment because I can totally relate. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And it sounds like now that you are practicing compassion for yourself, your compassion for others is now just, it's another level, right?
Yeah, and while you're talking, it kind of came to me is my own self-compassion to some degree is almost like the fuel that goes in the motor to make it so that I can do it for others. And I can honestly say I know for a fact there was times when I wasn't being self-compassionate, but I was being self-aware that there were times I'm going, what about me? When's someone gonna do something for me? And that doesn't come up anymore because the answer to that question is that's up to me to do something for me. And there's nothing wrong whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I need to think of me first in some situations so that I can do for others as I want to. And that resentment piece was real huge, and that took a long time to put my finger on and really go, yeah, that's inside. I kind of had a war going on. I'm doing these things. I want to be a nice guy. I want to be a good person. But then down the road, I'm angry and resentful that I've done these things. Well, that's no fun. And that's really gone away. And I have been asked sometimes because I do have a busy schedule. So you're just stopping in and doing hanging out with the hospice people. And I'm like, it's genuine. I want to do it. And I mean, I've gone there after a long day and I've sat with this woman, Betty, for an hour and not a lot of talking, just hanging out, holding a hand. And it's like morning again. I leave that place and I'm energized. I feel good. And I think that's part of the compassion too. And that's also me feeling good about myself. And that's that helps. Yeah. So anyway, yeah.
I can definitely relate when you said you were doing you do all these things for other people and then you would think, well, when's someone gonna do something for me? And I think that's pretty common. And I've been there too. It's like, oh, I'm always there for everyone and I help out when people ask me for help, but nobody's offering anything to me. And that changes when you start to become more self-aware. And you start recognizing that you are your responsibility.
Yeah.
And when you start taking care of yourself and doing these things for yourself, like being compassionate to yourself, you're no longer looking outside for someone else to provide it for you. And I think that's a big part of it that I'm sure you have recognized now.
That huge, huge. And I do remember a podcast from the adult chair where it was talked about, kind of like you're the sundae, and what somebody else says about you is the cherry. And that did not resonate me until I really hooked into the self-compassion. And it sounds silly, but I know for a fact that I've had a couple of things in the last month or so. And I said, I don't care if I get the cherry or not. I'm good. I'm good. And I wouldn't be there without the compassion. And I want to also underscore with the self-compassion what it's done to the self-talk, because in a lot of situations, my mind just went to good, bad, black and white. And with the self-compassion, it's just more about accepting the situation for what it is and thinking about, hey, how do I want to handle the situation? What do I think is best? And then go, well, what about, okay, what's best for the rest of the situation? And what can we do to change the situation? It's not more about good, bad, or judging it, but what can we do to do something different about the situation? And that kind of takes away some of the negativity that at least is in my brain that I thought maybe wasn't getting out or it wasn't emanating in me. But I've come to realize that as much as I think I had a mask on and people couldn't always see my feelings, they probably could more than I thought. And when the self-talking changed a lot, so did I think the way I came across to people. Like, I don't really think a year ago, Betty would have thought that I was such a great guy to hang out with and watch TV as she does now. If I'm being completely honest, because Because now when I show up there, there's, I mean, like I said, it's a busy day or whatever. I'm there because I want to be there. I'm there to be happy to be there. And I'm there to be a service to her in any way possible for as for what it takes. And I think that comes through me to her.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you said that because it sort of leads into the next question I was going to ask you was about how this has impacted your relationships with others. Obviously, I would say it has improved your relationship with yourself. And like you just mentioned, even the way you come across to someone now is different than you would have maybe a year ago. So tell me about some, how you've seen it have effects on your personal relationships.
Yes, definite improvement. Different relationships differently. I'm still navigating it in the work environment because that's a little bit different. And but I will say, even though it's different, being with the company for 30 years and being there a long time, I think people are noticing that I am a little bit different. I'm not saying I was the old grumpy guy, but at times I perhaps came across that way because I work in a rather young environment. So I do think I feel like it is coming out there. I know in a couple of situations with a couple of specific coworkers, because I'm different inside and I feel like I'm seeing our relationship a little bit different. I don't know how they're feeling about, but I'm feeling a lot less angst. Or, and with my daughters, I'm having a much easier time transitioning to, they're all adults, although the youngest is still in college, but I'm no longer seeing myself as the fixer, but more just someone who's there to talk to. And I felt like I was there already, but the self-compassion piece, I think, allowed me to personally see them more like adults and to not see them as somebody I need to help come in and fix and rescue. But sometimes I get it, like the other day, I got a call from my oldest daughter for some advice with one of my oldest grandchild. And I don't think without the self-compassion piece, I would have just said, even though I know that I would tell someone to just sit back, hear what she has to say, and then suggest, ask her what she thinks she should do and ask a few more questions. And that's what I did. And in the end, her solution was great. And I told her that. I said, you hit the nail on the head. I don't know if she realized that her advice that she was leaving the phone conversation with was hers or not. I certainly realized it. And I feel great about the interaction.
Yeah, it sounds like, before you were, people would come to you with something and you wanted to fix it, right? You want to
100%.
problem solve, you want to find a solution, right? Let's find a
Yes.
solution. And now you're able to sort of take a beat and just listen and support and reflect. And again, I think that comes back to the capacity you have for others because of the attention that you give to yourself, right?
Yes, without again an interaction that I might have at the office, I'm very much go, 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 go. But when someone comes in the past, I'd be actually half typing and half listening, and in the end, probably saying, "Okay, I'll just do it," rather than stopping listening, because I'm in my mind, I'm like, Scott, you have plenty of time to do what you need to do. You're good. Let's hear what they have to say. Let's what is it? And, maybe it's not even a problem you need to solve. And I'm doing a lot more of that. And again, at the end of the day, when I'm getting in the car, I'm actually feeling better because there were times I would remember those interactions. I was going, boy, I didn't even give that person the time of day. And they took the time to come talk to me. And in my mind, before the self-compassion, I thought, oh, no, I just look like a really efficient go-to, go get the job done guy. When maybe I didn't look quite that way, that's what I was telling myself. And now I can genuinely look in the mirror, look you in the eye, and say, no, I sat right down and talked to him, and it turned out a couple of instances has nothing to do with me, and there's nothing I could do to help. But I gave them the time. I didn't afterwards. There was no resentment because I it was my choice to stop and say, yeah, I got plenty of time. We can do this. And I was more aware about myself. And again, that also goes back to knowing when, wow, I am kind of getting amped up. I'm getting a little tense here with what's going on. I'm gonna take a time out and give myself a few minutes. And I've actually done that in some discussions with some friends where maybe it was getting a little heated. And I'm not pointing fingers. I just knew I was getting heated. So I said, I need a timeout, and went and just kind of tended my, what's going on? Why are you getting angry about this conversation? And I wouldn't have seen that as self-compassion before reading the book. But to me, that's self-compassion. That's going, Scott, why are you upset? What? And those are questions that I learned at a very young age, just never to ask. And and there's no blame. Maybe I was told and I didn't catch it, but now I do that, and that's a big key right there. And I don't want to, I want to make it clear to anyone listening, I'm not saying like self-compassion isn't this big to do. Sometimes it's just, for me especially, it's just saying that, what is it you want right now? Or okay, if you could click your heels right now, make everything perfect, what would that be? And then just sitting and seeing and actually realizing, you know, that, yeah, look, your inbox is full with a bunch of emails and it seems like you got a lot of stuff to do, but really, it's not that bad. You're kind of getting yourself caught up in a moment. So take yourself away from it. Go for a walk. Give yourself a 5-minute break. And it's also just realizing and being compassionate when I realize that, hey, life is hard. This is a tough day. This is a hard day. Or a mistake was made. It wasn't your mistake, but somebody made a mistake. And that's what happens. No one's, it's not going to ruin anything. But that's, I know some of it's being compassionate to another person, but some of it's just throwing it on myself because I'm a bit of a codependent and I would take things on from other people. And that's a big deal for me as well. Yeah, so that compassion piece in the book, the Kristen said, have a mantra. I don't necessarily have a mantra, but sometimes I do, just when things are getting tense, I just say, hey, some days are gonna be hard. Some days are gonna be overwhelming. It's okay that it's overwhelming. It's okay that you feel overwhelmed. What can I do for myself right now so I don't feel that way? And it could be, again, it's something as simple as a walk or just getting up. You know, I work in a two-story building. Maybe he's going downstairs to the water fountain down there and then coming back upstairs.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, before I forget, who said that? 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 Who said that?
Yes, my quote, I don't know who came up with the quote. I got it from my father when I was very young. It's a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. I've used that throughout my life to get me through a lot of tough, difficult situations. But I will say that when I got into this self-awareness and I really started digging into it, I started to see it a little bit negative. I started to see like winning at all costs, and kind of that's kind of how I was doing my job at times. And that's when I did some work, and I worked with my coach at the time, and I really thought about redefining winning. And that's why I think it's important about the quote is whatever it is that you determine as winning right now, being compassionate, being a good father, a good grandfather, being of service to others, and having a balanced, peaceful day. Those are my ideas of what winning is. And as long as I don't quit trying to do that, I'm gonna win. And that just has resonated with me because, as I said, my father, when I was a young child, my father had that on his mirror. He was a father of three going to college, and that's what he used to get himself through college. So still sticks with me.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and I love how you shifted just the way you look at that quote, because it could be looked at the way you said you used to see it as, you know, win at all costs. Don't stop, keep going until you win, kind of thing. And you're right, it's about defining what does winning mean to you. And winning for you is looking out for yourself, taking care of yourself, being in service to others. And by taking care of yourself, you are really great at being in service to others. So, as long as you're doing that, you're winning. And when you're
Yeah.
winning, you don't quit because that feels good. What winning is for you, like that feels good. So you keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
And it also helps me open up to, because I was never a big person to try new things and stuff. And changing it to this type of definition has helped me really kind of jump into that too, trying new things. You know, that's a part of life, experiencing new things. New things I don't know, but I'm gonna find out, and it's gonna be fun redefining it. And I guess, no, I'm not guessing, I'm sure in another 20 years I'll be redefining winning.
Yeah, absolutely. different things can resonate in different ways, depending on where you are in your path. So yeah, I appreciate that. I'm wondering if you have anything, you know, is there anything you do daily, sort of any routines or anything to practice self-compassion, or is it just sort of is it situational, you know?
Well, I will say, you know, again, I took that directly from Christine Neff's book about having some type of mantra that you can have written down that you could read, mm-hmm. you know, like four simple lines that's acknowledging the need for the self-compassion, that things are going to go wrong. I try to have that somewhere. I'm a big post-it kind of guy. So I do try to have that in my two computers that I work from. And then I'm a workout guy in the morning, Monday through Friday. So I do just try to, before I start working out, just take a few minutes and kind of set an intention for why I'm doing this, why I'm up at this early in the morning and why I'm doing this. It's because it's something I want to do. It's for me and I'm going to enjoy it. And then at the end of the day, I've really tried to kind of review the day in the car, just looking at my day and how I dealt with things. Not I guess with the eye towards compassion. So, you know, you had a busy day. You know, I'm a to-do list kind of guy. And I'm not sitting there going, okay, there's five things on the list I didn't do. It's more about, wow, I got that accomplished. I got that accomplished. Okay. And that got accomplished. Fantastic. And then this meeting was supposed to take place, got moved to another day. Fantastic. But it's about looking, I guess, at the risk of sounding a little cheesy to me, but looking back in my day with a loving eye towards what took place. And sometimes there are some things that I wasn't happy with, but just really looking at it from that's okay. So you made a mistake happened or something went wrong. We'll figure it out later on. I try to stay away from fixing or right and wrong. And if I do have something that feels bad, I do try to go right into it that night if I can, to kind of keep from the old school way, which was things would build up and build up until they were too much. So,
yeah.
And I don't know if everybody has an opportunity to do it every day, or maybe once a week, being able to sit back and kind of doing a review. There are some things, some self-help practices and stuff along the way that I've heard about that people say, well, if you do this, you know, you'll see things differently. It's taken me a long time to get there, but little things like that. And then it depends if you're in this type of work environment, like I am, where you're kind of stuck at a computer and stuff. I do personally get out and go for a 5 minute walk two or three times a day. And I just think that's just overall for mental, physical, and I think it would help with compassion as well.
Yeah, for sure. I love that idea of, like you said, sort of reviewing your day, or if daily is not realistic, even weekly, like you said. And I think, you know, you could call it reflection. And I think what's important about that, when you're reflecting on your day, reflecting on your week, is it's not analytical. It's not, what are the things I didn't do? What are the things I did do? And measuring it and analyzing it. It's not about data. It's about, for me, I see, you know, it's reflection is recognizing and honoring. And what I think is most helpful is to really highlight the things that you like, that you were happy about. It's kind of like, you know, I think we learned this in the adult chair, and I can't remember who said it, but energy flows where attention goes. So if you're putting your attention on the things you didn't do enough of, or you didn't get to, or the things you don't want, then that's where your energy is going. So I think it's, you know, when we're reflecting, it's really helpful to look at the things that you liked. So you're like, well, yeah, I want more of that going into the next week. I want to do more of that. So then that's kind of where your energy goes. And like you mentioned, it's just about self-compassion. You're not beating yourself up about the emails you didn't respond to or the texts you didn't get to. You're looking at what you've accomplished and like, yeah, look at that. I had a great day. Look at all I did today.
Yes.
And I think just that little, like that just little shift in how you frame it can make a big difference, right?
Yeah. And just the word, I love the word you're using, and that's just reflecting. It's not judging. It's not, I don't know what other word, but reflecting is just looking back at what occurred and ideally objectively and also specifically find a few positive things. Go, wow, that worked out, that worked out, that worked out, that worked out. And to your point earlier, we're all kind of a generation where we're doing for others, doing for others, doing for others. It took me a long time to figure out I was never going to get to the end of the list. So highlighting the fact that I didn't get to the end of the list is really just a self-abuse mechanism that I let go of a while back. But yeah, the compassion piece, looking back in a non-judgmental way. Wow. And yeah, some days I might go, yeah, maybe I could have done a little bit more. That's what I personally think, but not in a, oh, but just a, oh, okay, I could have done this differently or that differently, but nothing with I guess judgment, just judgment free. I mean, you can still say, yes, we could do this differently next time, but not no beating up.
Yeah, judgment free. I think that's perfect. And I think that's, the big piece about self-compassion is viewing yourself judgment free. And you said it before, just you accepting yourself fully, judgment free.
Yeah, for the I don't know if you're this way. I think a lot of people, more people are like this than I ever imagined. We spend a lot of time criticizing ourselves and thinking that everybody else has got it made and is perfect. And
Yeah.
going to the certification coaching class was a big eye opener. And then as I've just become more compassionate with myself, it's just it's everyone's got their warts, their bumps, their things they're not pleased about. That honestly, if I told someone, well, I do these things, they might look at it and go, wow, that's great. I wish I could do it. And I'm looking at them as negative. So it's all perspective anyway. What lens people look through it at. I think that's a big piece of accepting and being, this is the Scott McDonald I am today at 61 years old. 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I would have had a lot of negative things to say. Now it's, this is how I am. I'm pretty happy with where I am. I'm really excited about where I'm going. Sure, I could get better here and there. And that's a huge shift. And I think a lot of it had to do with a lot of the work I was doing, and then this somehow or other that self-compassion that I don't think I ever really had just kind of made everything in the puzzle click together. Not that it's all clicked together for good, because
Well, I
it
think, we're it's a journey, right? We are things
yes.
are always going to be clicking, and that's what we want. That means we're still learning.
Yes, and I think self-compassion has helped me accept the idea of it's a journey more now. I think for a long time, even when I started the adult chair stuff, I was like, okay, but I'm going to get to perfection.
Yeah, right. And now you're not looking at this end point, this end goal. You're appreciating every step because
Yes.
I'm sure you recognize now that, if you pick an end point, it can move. And
Yeah.
I think that's also pretty exciting. And that's part of the journey is recognizing that the place you're going could change, your path could change. A new path could be added on your route. And that's what makes it so fun and exciting. And being open to that. And, like we talked about in the beginning, practicing self-awareness, you now recognize something when something's pulling you down. You're going down this route, you think, all right, this is what I'm doing. This is my future. When you practice self-awareness and something's sort of pulling you on this other path over here, then you're able to be curious about it and think, oh, I wonder what's over there. And then that could be really amazing. So I think it's a good reminder to not focus on the end point and just allow for what's happening now because your end point is likely going to move.
Yeah, and I that was not a concept I was familiar at all before, all this self-awareness and all this awareness. And honestly, that's what makes things less mundane as well. That's what makes certain tasks, because again, I've been doing what I've been doing for quite a few years at my current job, but that's actually brought some new life into new light into those tasks, because I do now have the eyes and the ears, and something different could be right around the corner. Yeah, I've been doing what I'm doing for the last 6 years, but something different just could pop around. And I know it's not if, it's just what and when. And that's brought some renewed excitement to my daily tasks and the relationships.
Yeah, I love that. Something different could be right around the corner. Like just being open to
Yeah.
that.
And being
Yeah,
open
it's
to the
awesome.
idea that I'll be able to go with it. Because in
Yeah.
the past, I definitely didn't feel I could go with the flow whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, before we wrap up here, could you offer maybe a tip or maybe a simple way for people to get started? Anyone who's listening who does feel like self-compassion is sort of a foreign concept until now. Maybe, I know you mentioned a mantra. What would you offer to someone today who's like, I don't know, I've never done self-compassion. What do I even do? How do I start?
I would start with just taking the time to think about what is it that you would like in a situation. Not that that's what's going that what's what you're going to do. That not that's going to determine, but just what would feel right to me in this situation, and how would that look? And then anytime, and I think this goes for a lot of things, anytime you're feeling overwhelmed, if you can just find a way to be able to go inside and just ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? What's going on that's making me feel this way? And if it's a situation that's fast moving and you can't, then allow us, okay, I cannot go into this right now, but I'm going to go into this. I'm going to go ask myself this question later on. Being able to start asking yourself how you feel about certain situations or how you feel about what's going on and what it is you would like. And again, making it clear doesn't necessarily mean that's what you're going to do or that's how it's going to go, but just bringing yourself and what you want and don't want into the con your conversation. I think to me, that's kind of starting to open the door for self-compassion. And then if something goes wrong, you're being told or you're feeling you've done something wrong, just tell yourself, it's okay. It's all right. You're going to get through this. And that sounds incredibly simple, but it was not something that I allowed myself to do. I was personally the person with good or bad news, just took it and stuffed it down, took it and stuffed it down and kept moving. So I never enjoyed the good. And I didn't really do much with the bad, just as you are well aware of, popped up somewhere else, usually in the wrong place at the wrong time. And by accepting that mistakes are going to happen, things aren't going to work out the way you want or the way others want, and turning into yourself.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it sounds like first step would be just, take a beat. Right? Just take a moment, take a pause and ask yourself, what do you want? And I do think that's a question that many of us don't ask ourselves often enough, if ever. So I like that reminder to just pause.
Because sometimes especially with my codependency, I would feel my feelings, my thoughts, my ideas were never part of this. Okay. Well, some of that I can now tell you was my fault because I wasn't telling or sharing.
Yeah.
Well, again, why this is, I think, a great place to start. Well, who better than at least have the con start the conversation with myself than with me having it with myself? Then maybe, and this is taking time, then I'll feel like sharing it with others.
I love that. Who better to start the conversation with me than me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As silly as it sounds.
I think it's really powerful, and like you said, just telling yourself, it's okay, you'll get through this. It does seem very simple, but it doesn't have to be complex and complicated to be effective. Simple can also be very effective. And when it's simple, it's easier to remember. So I think starting simple is a great tip. So thank you for that. If somebody wants to contact you, maybe chat with you one-on-one, where is the best place for them to find you?
I do have the website. It's called the Ella Connection. It's
Okay.
all one word. And then my email, which you'd see there, is Scott McDonald at the Ella Connection.
Okay. And you're on Instagram, which I recommend everybody follow Scott because I love his content.
That's also under the Ella Connection.
Okay, perfect. I'll put all that in the show notes so people can find you. Well, thank you so much for taking time out to chat with me today. This was awesome.
Well, thank you, Trish. And as I said, I've really enjoyed your podcast. I'm super impressed with what you're doing, and you're helping people. I can tell 100%. And I'm very thankful that you asked me on to do this. I appreciate your time as well.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I appreciate you. And for everyone listening or watching, you are enough, just as you are, and you are loved. Make a great day. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend or share it with someone who is not a friend and maybe they will become a friend. I mean, stranger things have happened, right? Okay, bye.